This week on the show, an amazing interview with the Miller twins, writers, producers, and directors of the indie film Touching Home, starring Ed Harris, plus tips from their marketing guru. All this and more on This Week in Media, episode number 186. On the show, we have a very special Memorial Day interview with a couple of really interesting folks. I'm Daisy Whitney, and as you can tell, we're not recording live this week, but I am bringing you the creators, directors, writers, producers of the recently released film Touching Home, and also their social media producer guru who is behind a lot of the efforts that these guys use to help with the film. These guys are, in fact, Logan and Noah Miller. They are local to me out here in the Bay Area. You might know them because of the book that they wrote that was based on, that the movie became based on. And it's basically their life story. Really, really fascinating story. So hello, Logan and Noah. Great to have you here.
Hey. Great. Thanks for having us, Sadie.
And I also have Carrie Zanotto. So Carrie, thank you for being on the show as well. Carrie is kind of the social media guru behind all of this.
Thank you.
So thank you for being on. So we'll start with the Miller twins, and they're just going to be kind of answering questions together. So for our listeners, I mean, they are identical twins, and I'm not going to be able to tell them apart, and you probably won't either. And we're just going to go with that. So tell us about, I want kind of the really quick backstory on the book and then how it became a movie. And for the folks who don't know, what I think one of the things that is just so fascinating was how you landed Ed Harris. I mean, that's just, you know, one of the great stories behind all of this. So go ahead, tell us a little bit about it, and then I'll ask you some more specific questions.
Well, yeah, our dad was homeless for the last 15 years of his life, and he ended up passing away in jail. And we had written a screenplay about his life, and he was aware of the screenplay. And he used to always ask us, you know, when are you guys going to make our movie? And we'd always, you know, just put it off. We'd always say, oh, we're going to make it soon, Dad. And he didn't really realize how difficult it was to actually make a movie. And we were visiting him in jail shortly before he passed away. And he asked us the same old question, when are you guys going to make our movie? And we said, oh, we're going to make it soon. And he said, well, who's going to play me? He's got to be good looking. And we said, oh, yeah, you know, Ed Harris. We'll get Ed Harris to play you. But I mean, at that point, it was just you know, just in a jailhouse dream, just something that you'd accomplish in the next lifetime, because Ed Harris was so far away from our world at that time. And our father passed away, I don't know, about 6-8 weeks later. And
we made a vow to him that we were gonna make Touching Home, which is a story about our lives together.
And what year was this? When was the jailhouse promise made, and when did your father pass away?
2006.
Okay. Were you Ed Harris fans? Was that just kind of something that you say on a whim?
Of course. I mean, he's arguably one of the best actors, you know, of our time. Or maybe not arguably. I mean, he is one of the best actors of our time.
Yeah, so he's fantastic.
He always reminded us of our dad, and he was the number one guy from really the conception of the screenplay to play our father. But, you know, like we said, he was so far.
What came first, the screenplay or the book?
The screenplay.
Yeah, the screenplay is Touching Home, and that's the movie's Touching Home. And the book's called Either You're In or You're In the Way, and that's the adventure story behind the making of the movie. So it's not a direct adaptation. You know, Touching Home wasn't taken from the book Either You're In or You're In the Way. Either You're In or You're In the Way is the adventure behind the making of the movie. So basically, you know, starting our father's death, and then a vow that we made to him that we're going to tell a story.
And the movie came out in April. Interestingly, Entertainment Weekly called it 2010's most heartfelt movie, which is really a terrific accolade to receive, especially because this is what we're talking about here is real kind of grassroots indie producer, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, which I think is one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on the show. I mean, a lot of our audience for This Week in Media are folks who are making their own podcasts, who are making their own web shows, who are independent filmmakers, who are, you know, guys and gals, you know, with a dream and are making it happen, much like the two of you. Now, one of the things that helped propel interest in your movie was this YouTube video, kind of ambushing Ed Harris. Talk to us about that. How that happened? I mean, how you got him? I mean, you're just, you know, you're a couple of guys without any screen credits, and that's okay. Yeah. But you got this Oscar-nominated terrific actor to be in the movie.
Right. So after our father passed away, we, you know, set out to make this movie, and we'd never directed anything. We never produced anything. We really didn't know where to start. So we bought some books on production and started taking notes, and we were fortunate enough to receive the Panavision New Filmmaker Grant. Panavision supplies you with cameras, and Kodak donates some film. So we, me and our brother and about six or seven crew members went down to Arizona.
When did you get the film grant, and what's entailed in getting something like that?
So basically, you gotta, you know, go out there and pitch them, and they read the script, and if they think it's a worthy project, they get behind it. And it doesn't, they don't, Panavision doesn't give you any money. They just give you access to their cameras, which saves you over the course of a feature production. You know, a full length, you know, movie is going to save you, you know, probably over $100,000. So
right, that's no small shakes getting a camera. That's terrific.
No, it's not. So we went down to Tucson and shot for 3 days with the Colorado Rockies because there's baseball in the script.
And that's because you guys have a baseball background. You're baseball hopefuls.
Yeah, we had played baseball, you know, all our lives, and then Logue played in the minor leagues, and I played in college, and that didn't really work out. And so the movie centers around that time in our lives when I was released from the minor leagues and Noah flunked out of school, and we went back home and worked with our dad to try and save our money to get back down to Arizona for some tryouts with major league teams. And so we shot with Colorado for 3 days, and then our buddy Pearson cut together this little 2-minute trailer, and we read that Ed Harris was going to be honored by the San Francisco International Film Festival. And so, you know, we're local guys, and we said, okay, the number one man to play the role of our father is coming to San Francisco. We're going to go talk to him.
That is awesome. I mean, serendipity. That's what you're talking about. That's serendipity and acting upon it.
Yeah. You know, definitely seeing an opportunity and going after it for sure, I think has been the key to at least what we've been able to accomplish, you know, and then getting really lucky along the way. So, but yeah, that was one of those just serendipitous kind of events that Ed was going to be in San Francisco. And so we went to the Castro Theater. And because Ed was doing, that's where Ed was going to be doing this interview on stage. And we had our laptop with us that had the 2-minute trailer on it. We had our script and manila envelope. And we went to the Castro Theater, and the place filled up. There's like 1,400 people, and Ed's doing the interview on stage. And we tried to get the microphone during the Q&A to put Ed on the spot in front of, you know, 1,400 people and see if he'd talk to us, you know, for 2 minutes after. But we couldn't get the microphone, so they gave him a standing ovation, and Ed disappeared backstage. And
were you nervous at that point?
Well, at that point we figured we'd lost our opportunity because he disappeared through the curtain, and we thought we'd never see him again. And so this is Noah speaking. I just stood up out of my chair and started walking down the aisle. And Logue said, "Where are you going?" I said, "You know, we're going backstage to talk to Mr. Harris." And so we waved to the press and waved to the security who were, you know, along our path to get up to the stage, and walked up the steps of the stage and, you know, started swimming through the curtain right behind Ed. And we were able to get his attention. And, you know, so we snuck backstage and we were able to get his attention, and we tried to show him our trailer on our laptop, but the stage lights were flooding out the image, so you couldn't see anything. And there was 1,400 people having intermission, so you certainly couldn't hear anything. And there was a door open to the alley. And it was quiet and dark in the alley. And I said, "Hey, Mr. Harris, do you mind if we go into the alley?" And he kind of shrugged and he said, "Sure, let's go into the alley." And so the three of us went to the alley, and we put our laptop on this greasy dumpster and hit play. And Ed watched the 2-minute trailer, and he thought it looked good. And then we talked for a little bit, and then he took our script off the dumpster, and he said, "Look, I'm pretty busy right now." He's like, "Why don't you guys give me a week?" And then he shook our hands and said, "Good show, fellas." And then he took off, and he called us 9 days later at our house. And
God, you asked him in an alley to star in your movie. I mean, this Academy Award nominated actor in an alley. It's just a beautiful story. I love it. And so he called you himself. I mean, what were you shocked when you picked up the phone 9 days later and it said Harris on the other line?
Yes, but also terrified. Terrified because he could be calling to say no, right?
And so,
you know, we, you know, once picked up the phone and then we came, you know, really sort of that shot of nervousness and that kind of anxiety and then those butterflies. And then,
and at first he said he couldn't, you know, he said, hey, I really like the script. He said, when are you going to shoot? And we didn't have any money at the time and he didn't know we didn't have any money. And so we thought we needed to sound professional and just give him a date, you know. And so we said June, and this was May. And he said, oh, not going to be able to do it. And so then we panicked. And I said, oh, June's just a, you know, month on the calendar. I mean, it's one of 12. It's no important than the rest. And you know, why don't we just get together and figure out when you can make it? And so we got together. We had coffee. And then we figured out when in his schedule he could make it. And so it was, like Noah said, it was May, and Ed said, I can give you 2 weeks in December. And we said, okay, great, perfect.
That's when you're shooting. If Ed Harris gives you 2 weeks in December, you say that's when you're shooting. Was his agent involved at all? I mean, did it reach that level of negotiations, or did this become, as it was for you, very much a passion project, do you think?
Oh, no.
His agent kind of, you know, grudgingly became involved. I mean,
but they weren't too excited about us, you know, hijacking their client in an alley in San Francisco. I mean, that's not typically where big Hollywood deals are conducted.
Now, did you, as you got to know him, did you guys reflect back sort of on that moment? And was that part of the allure for Mr. Harris?
Well, I mean, we've, you know, found out that alleys were, you know, certainly a hobby of it. No,
no. All his career, he'd been waiting to be asked to star in a movie in an alley, and finally it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how these things work. No, but he's just such a great man. He's so humble and, for lack of a better word, real. You know, he's.
I just think he probably sort of what he said is, we said, why did you take the time to talk to us, Ed? You know. This was some months after. This is after we'd even shot the movie. We said, "What made you take the time to talk to us?" And he said, "Well, you know, it seemed like you guys had something really important to say, and then I should listen." So
that was awesome. And so that was that December 2008 or 2009 when you shot the movie?
We shot it over 2007. We finished it in 2009. We shot it over quite some time.
Okay, and it was just released about a month ago when people are listening to this. It was just released in April. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. Carrie, I want to bring you into the conversation. I mean, the backstory is so fascinating. You kind of can't tell, you can't tell the story of this movie without telling that backstory, which is just a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, and truly incredible. But now let's talk a little bit about sort of things that weren't serendipitous, per se, or that weren't, and I don't want to suggest that, you know, it was only some serendipity. Obviously, you guys really pursued this and figured out how to go after your dream, however possible. But I want to talk about sort of what you did to prime the pump, you know, using YouTube, using social media. That's what a lot of folks in our audience are interested in. So, Carrie, kind of walk us through some of the ways that you were able to get traction on this movie.
Sure. Actually, they had done a lot of pre-work themselves, just with making that video that you mentioned, the one that Hooman did.
Right, you said, yeah, it was the ambushing Ed Harris one, right?
Right, yeah. So that one was up and got tons of hits. And so they had this story that, as you said, is so compelling, it just draws you in. And we just found ways to build upon that by building up the Facebook pages and communities and optimizing the website and just making sure that the content was available and the story just keeps continuing.
When did you start with that? And because I'm curious about that, Carrie, when is the right moment to start, you know, kind of getting the word out about something like that? I mean, I think it's an important issue in marketing and in creativity, is sort of knowing when to prime the pump and when not to push the buzz, because you don't want to peak too early when it comes to buzz. So what was kind of the process behind that?
Well, it was sort of a journey that just keeps building, if you will. When I got involved with this project, they had already established this event, the Bookstock event that they did at AT&T Park. And it was a matter of getting the word out for that.
What is that event? So our listeners know about that.
I'm actually going to go back to Logan and Noah and let them speak a little about that event, because they can explain it much better than I.
Okay, tell us about it.
So when our book was published, Either You In or You're In the Way, last year, we wanted to have some sort of promotional event to, we'd worked with the San Francisco Giants with the movie, because there's a San Francisco Giants tryout camp in the movie. So we'd been talking with Jack Bear, who's the head counsel for the Giants, and he had been talking about, you know, maybe playing the movie up on their huge HD screen they have out there in the outfield.
But we didn't, you know, we were looking for the right opportunity to do that, and we said, okay, well, our book's coming out, and why don't we have our book launch at a stadium and give the movie away for free, but the ticket is a book. One book gets into adults under 12, kids under 12 are free.
So we worked with Jeremy Zajon, who helped produce Touching Home, and he did an extraordinary job of promoting and organizing Bookstock.
Yeah, him and Jason Holthy actually produced Bookstock and just put together this
extraordinary event at the ballpark. And I think there was, you know, right around 6,000 people that came, and there was three live bands, and there was a live art show out on the outfield wall, and then the movie played during the event. And it's really, you know, Jeremy and Jason, they got together an extraordinary team, and, you know, Carrie, I know, was part of that.
Let's shift back to online and kind of bringing all of those things that you're doing sort of out in the fields, if you will, you know, kind of back to the web to get other people interested, folks who aren't in San Francisco, who couldn't go for whatever reason, you know, kind of building up the Facebook page, Carrie, and Twitter and YouTube, and just those tools that a lot of independent producers are using. What was your strategy behind that?
It was really just finding a way to tell this story, because once you hear the story, you can't help but want to be involved in some way, whether it's just sharing it with friends and family and, you know, getting your small circle to go or telling a larger group of people.
And now what is this? You use this eventful.com service and you can use it to demand that the movie play in a theater near you. How does that work exactly?
It keeps track of people wanting to see the movie. So, for instance, my cousin's in Palo Alto, and she was saying, when's it going to come here? And I said, well, help us get it there by clicking the demand it feature. Have it, you know, share that with your friends and coworkers and get as many people to demand it as possible. And then that helps us get leverage into expanding where the movie's showing.
How many theaters was it in for the initial launch?
I would have to defer to Jeremy for that, unless the bros know.
Do you guys know?
Yeah, we opened in three theaters.
Okay, and how is it growing? I mean, is it starting to be shown in other places around the country?
Yes, we just opened New York last weekend, and so it's playing in New York, and then the Bay Area and Sacramento, and then we'll open, I believe, Tampa next,
and then Phoenix and St. Louis. You know, it's a really small independent release, so it's not going to be in a thousand theaters across the country.
But it is growing. That's the important thing. That's what I'm hearing. I mean, you're adding new cities and, you know, large cities as we speak.
Yes.
Yeah. We're really fortunate. We got some really good press from New York, opening the movie in New York last week, and so the idea is then to take that press and leverage it in other markets. So.
And do you know, and the service where folks can demand is called eventful.com. So you can just go there, click on the movie, say you want to see it near you. Carrie, are you starting to get traction with that yet? Have you heard from the service? I don't know if it's too early to tell, but is that helping with distribution?
It's definitely helping us target and know where the interest lies. It goes, you know, we can map that up against Google Analytics to also see how that's trending with the traffic online.
How is that trending? I mean, what sort of interplay are you seeing?
We're definitely seeing it matching where we're opening. Our targets are matching. And it also shows us where we have a little bit more opportunity to increase our communications.
And what will you do in places where you see that there is an opportunity to push the word out more? How will you do that?
Usually what we try to do is partner. So for instance, as we're going into Tampa, we partner with the theater there and help communicate to their community as well. A lot of these small theaters, or not small theaters, but independent theaters, have great communities on Facebook and Twitter as well. So it's already sort of providing us an audience, and then we just try to build upon that.
Do you see this as being something, I mean, it sounds like obviously it's a small opening, but it's growing, as something that has that kind of slow build, and then it's the word of mouth, but also it's the grassroots online marketing that you're doing that will help contribute to that, where there needs to be actual, you know, partnerships, and as you said, talking to local independent theaters, that is not necessarily something that's just going to happen from word of mouth, but that it's also going to come from efforts that you all will make with kind of strategic, smart independent partnerships.
Yeah, and we've partnered with other online communities such as Yelp that really help us get into the specific areas that we're looking at too.
And Carrie, what advice would you give, kind of broadening this out, you know, beyond the Miller Brothers right now, what advice would you give to other independent producers and creators in terms of, you know, getting the word out about their projects, their shows, their movies, their music, whatever it is, some of the tools and tricks of the trade?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make with these types of tools is that they don't make sure that their content is relevant for the audience that they're speaking to, because you can easily lose more traction than you can gain if you're not speaking to the right audience, if you're showing them something that's wasting their time.
And that's important advice. I mean, I, you know, do a lot of coverage, as our listeners know, just of the marketing business in general, and producing conferences on marketing. And, you know, for anyone who watches my new Media Minute, that's a message that I'm constantly drilling home, is find the audience, is target them. I mean, that's something that's just so important to, you know, to brands, big brands, but also just to individual brands. Final question for Logan and Noah, sort of similar to Carrie, but what advice would you guys give to, you know, to other folks like yourself? You know, whether it's somebody who's probably not someone who's going to ambush Ed Harris and get a star of that caliber to be in their movie, but what would you say to other independents like yourself?
Surround yourself with as many really smart people as you can. And then take all the credit.
Go after your dream and then associate with smart people, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, sorry to be to joke there, but
no, it's okay. Yeah, you can joke on our show.
Nothing profound about what we're going to say. It's, I mean, you just got to go out and you have to go out and do it. And then if people see that you're leading the charge, you can get people on board. But nobody's going to want to, you know, do the heavy lifting for you. You got to demonstrate that you're willing to go out and do it. And then smart people like Carrie will jump on the ship, and all you need to give them is bread and water and you can make it happen.
Just let them see the sun, you know, like about a half hour a day, and they're amazing.
Keep them below
the
deck. Some
occasional chocolate.
Chocolate keeps me going. Now, Carrie, where can people find out about you online if they want to do that?
I have probably the most comprehensive profile that I would have would be the LinkedIn profile.
And it's, I'd spell your name for our listeners.
It's KarizanOtto.
Thank you. And Logan and Noah, where do you want people to find you? And if people want to see the movie, buy the book, hear more about that, where do you want them to go?
How about the website?
Yep.
TouchingHomeMovie.com.
Awesome. And they'll get everything there. There'll be links there to buy your book and to demand the movie. If you want to see the movie in your town, you can go to eventful.com and request to demand the movie. So
you can demand the movie straight from the movie website as well.
How about that? They're just integrating new media in their project. This is awesome. I'm so proud of you guys. What a great story. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it with me. Carrie, I appreciate you joining us and giving your perspective as well. So all of the listeners, hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend or week if you're celebrating it. And we will be back next week. We are over and out.